supporting our annual fundraising campaign. From the bottom of our musical hearts, thank you for sitting pretty as one of radio's best friends.
Democracy Now.
Who's going to stand up and say the cartels are gone, the criminal migrants are gone, the gangs are gone, America is for Americans and Americans only?
President-elect Donald Trump has tapped immigration hardliner Stephen Miller to a top White House post as the incoming administration prepares to carry out what it calls the largest deportation campaign in U.S. history. Miller will play a key role along with Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, and South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who will reportedly be the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. We'll speak to Jean Guerrero, author of Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump, and the White Nationalist Agenda. Then, as stock prices soar for the GEO Group and other private prison companies, we'll speak to Silky Shah of the Detention Watch Network. And finally, American Coup, Wilmington, 1898.
It was a different vision of what American democracy could be, that it could actually be multiracial and work.
Men, do your duty. This city, county, and state shall be rid of Negro domination once and forever.
The Confederacy was trying to take power back.
We'll speak to director Yoruba Richin about her new PBS film premiering tonight on how white supremacists carried out a massacre and coup to overthrow the elected government in the black-majority North Carolina city of Wilmington 3 decades after the Civil War. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. Dozens of Palestinians have been killed in Israeli attacks across the Gaza Strip. On Monday, at least 10 civilians were killed when a pair of Israeli missiles struck a crowded tent cafe west of Khan Yunis, an area Israel had designated as a so-called safe zone. That followed Israeli attacks on the Nusairat refugee camp that killed 20 people, some of whom were reportedly shot as they tried to flee the onslaught. Meanwhile, Palestinian health workers say 3 medical staffers were injured in an Israeli attack near the besieged Kamal Adwan Hospital near Beit Lahia. It's been just over 400 days since Israel began its assault on Gaza. For thousands of displaced Palestinians forced to live in makeshift camps, life has become a daily struggle for survival.
The 400 days that have passed feel like 400 years, maybe even more. If there was no war, we wouldn't have known such hunger and displacement. Before, we were living decently. We were fine and happy, receiving aid packages twice a month. Now there is no food, no water, no medicine. There's nothing. We are deprived of everything, even the air we breathe.
Israel's failed to meet a 30-day deadline set by the Biden administration to end its starvation campaign in northern Gaza, where the UN says a famine is imminent. Despite the deadline, the Biden administration still has not triggered U.S. laws requiring it withhold military support for Israel over gross human rights abuses. In a report co-signed by Oxfam, Refugees International and Save the Children relief groups write that Israel entirely failed to meet 15 of 19 U.S. demands, warning the situation in northern Gaza is, quote, in an even more dire state today than a month ago, unquote. Israel's military has bombed Beirut's southern suburb of Haratrik after warning residents to flee the area. Today's attacks came after Lebanese officials reported one person was killed and 4 injured after an Israeli airstrike targeted the town of Hermel in the eastern Baalbek Hermel governorate. On Monday, Israel's newly appointed defense minister, Israel Katz, ruled out even a temporary peace deal, declaring, quote, there will be no ceasefire and no pause, unquote. Israel's far-right finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, told Israeli lawmakers he's ordered work to begin so that Israel can annex the occupied West Bank.
The year 2025 will be, with God's help, the year of sovereignty in Judea and Samaria.
Smotrich, who's himself a resident of an illegal Israeli settlement in the West Bank, said he hopes the incoming Trump administration will back his plans, which violate international law. Here in the United States, Decision Desk HQ is projecting Republicans will retain control of the House of Representatives, cementing their party's control of both houses of Congress and all three branches of government. Other major news organizations have not yet called the House contest for either party. On Monday, Democrats flipped a congressional seat in Louisiana, where State Senator Cleo Fields won the recently redrawn 6th congressional district, which is Louisiana's second majority black district. That district is under review by the U.S. Supreme Court, which said a day before the election it'll review a lower court ruling striking down Louisiana's new congressional district map. President-elect Donald Trump will nominate Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio as Secretary of State, according to multiple news outlets. Rubio is the son of Cuban immigrants who's fought to maintain the U.S. embargo on Cuba. He's a staunch supporter of Israel's assault on Gaza, has called for the, quote, complete eradication of Hamas, unquote. Rubio's also called for U.S. military action against Iran. If Rubio's confirmed as Secretary of State, Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis will name a temporary replacement to fill a Senate seat until a 2026 special election. Trump has chosen New York Republican Congressmember Lee Stefanik to serve as his ambassador to the United Nations. She's a Trump loyalist, the only woman in the House Republican leadership. She recently joined congressional hearings over free speech and support for Palestinian rights on campus, where her grilling of two Ivy League presidents over allegations of campus anti-Semitism led to their resignations. President-elect Trump has nominated South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem as Secretary of Homeland Security. Noem supports new oil and gas developments on federal lands, has refused federal funding for energy efficiency and environmental programs, and infamously sent the South Dakota National Guard to the U.S.-Mexico border. Last year, she signed legislation banning gender-affirming treatment for young South Dakotans. Trump has selected Florida Congressmember Mike Waltz to serve as National Security Advisor. He's a former Green Beret and active colonel in the U.S. Army National Guard who served multiple tours in Afghanistan. Waltz, known as a foreign policy hawk on China and Iran, and supported Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Waltz regularly appears as a pundit on Fox News and has attacked the U.S. military for teaching critical race theory to officers. Former Veterans Affairs Secretary Robert Wilkie will lead Trump's transition efforts for the Pentagon. In 2020, a whistleblower's report found then-Secretary Wilkie discredited and smeared a House aide who reported a sexual assault at work. Despite calls he resigned by 20 veterans groups and more than two dozen Democratic lawmakers, Wilkie only left office after Trump's first term expired and after the Orlando Sentinel revoked its endorsement of Wilkie. Trump has named Stephen Miller as White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy. Miller's the architect of Trump's zero-tolerance immigration policies, including family separations, has a well-documented history of promoting white nationalist theories. Miller co-authored President Trump's 2017 inaugural address, which painted a dark picture of American carnage. Just ahead of the election, Miller declared at a Madison Square Garden rally for Trump, quote, America is for Americans and Americans only. The slogan echoed the Nazi slogan, Germany for Germans only. Trump has nominated former Congressmember Lee Zeldin to head the Environmental Protection Agency. The Long Island Republican served four terms in the House of Representatives, where he earned a score of just 14 out of 100 from the League of Conservation Voters after consistently voting against critical environmental protections and clean energy job investments. Zeldin's nomination came after the New York Times reported Trump's transition team is discussing moving EPA headquarters outside Washington, D.C. Nate James of the American Federation of Government Employees told Politico many career EPA officials would leave the agency if it moves, adding, quote, it could be advertised as a relocation, but really it would be a decapitation, unquote. Donald Trump still hasn't signed an ethics agreement required for presidential transition teams. On Monday, Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren wrote, quote, Donald Trump and his transition team are already breaking the law. I would know because I wrote the law. Incoming presidents are required to prevent conflicts of interest and sign an ethics agreement. This is what illegal corruption looks like, Warren said. Meanwhile, congressional Republicans have proposed legislation to grant Trump sweeping powers to crush his political enemies. The so-called Stop Terror Financing and Tax Penalties on American Hostages Act would give the Treasury Department unilateral authority to revoke the tax-exempt status of any nonprofit deemed to be a terrorist-supporting organization, unquote. Haiti shut down its Port-au-Prince airport after gangs opened fire and landing planes Monday. A flight attendant aboard a Spirit Airlines aircraft was struck and suffered minor injuries. A JetBlue plane was also hit. Spirit, JetBlue, and American Airlines have temporarily suspended flights to and from Haiti. The shooting came as a new interim prime minister, businessman Alex Didier Fils-Aimé, was sworn in Monday after Haiti's transitional council ousted his predecessor, Gary Conil. Fils-Aimé, a son of a prominent activist, vowed to restore security in Haiti and usher in long-awaited elections for a new president.
We are reminding all Haitians, men and women, from the country within and from abroad, business people, big and small, the duty of the government is to organize elections that will not be contested. Everybody has to help.
The UN Human Rights Office said nearly 4,000 people have been killed and another 1,800 injured in Haiti this year due to gang violence. Back in the United States, wildfires are raging on both the West and East Coasts, as recent data shows all but two states are facing historic drought conditions. An 18-year-old firefighter, Dariel Vasquez, died Saturday while battling the Jennings Creek fire in New York and New Jersey. Air quality alerts were issued in New York City over the weekend as smoke and haze from multiple fires filled the skies, including a brush fire in Brooklyn's Prospect Park. Fire crews have also been battling flames in Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned the clock is ticking as he took the stage earlier today at the COP29 climate summit in Baku, Azerbaijan.
This is almost certain to be the hottest year on record. And the masterclass in climate destruction. Families running for their lives before the next hurricane strikes. Biodiversity destroyed in sweltering seas. Workers and pilgrims collapsing in insufferable heat. Floods tearing through communities and tearing down infrastructure. Children going to bed hungry as droughts ravage crops. And all these disasters and more are being supercharged by human-made climate change. And no country is spared.
As talks get underway at COP29, activists at the summit held a silent protest Monday after organizers barred them from chanting or making speeches on the streets outside the conference halls. After taking part in the protest, Filipino climate activist Lydie Nakpil addressed the challenges of the incoming U.S. administration.
The U.S. is more of a problem than helping in any solution. This is going to get worse under Trump. We've seen it in his first presidency. So I think the rest of the world needs to step up even more if we're going to have this very uncooperative United States.
Democracy Now! Will be broadcasting live from the U.N. Climate Summit in Baku, Azerbaijan, all next week. And a Dutch court dealt a devastating blow to climate activists today as it ruled in favor of Shell, which had appealed a landmark decision that forced the oil company to cut its carbon emissions by 45% by 2030. Activists vowed to continue their fight to protect the planet. This is Donald Pols, director of Friends of the Earth Netherlands, one of the groups which brought the case against Shell.
It's too early to announce new steps. We're going to take the time to read the court judgment. But it's clear in the summary, the judge stated that the more than 800 oil and gas projects that are planned by Shell, that they are contradictory to the responsibility of Shell to reduce its CO2 emissions in accordance with international climate agreements and contributes to human rights violations.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. Coming up, we look at Donald Trump's plans to carry out the largest deportation operation in U.S. history. We'll speak to Gene Guerrero, author of Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump, and the White Nationalist Agenda. Stay with us.
In olden days, a glimpse of stockings was looked at. Something shocking now, heaven knows, anything goes. Good authors too, who once knew better words, now only use four-letter words, writing prose, anything goes. The world has gone mad. Just silly gigolos. So though I'm not a great romancer, I know that I'm bound to answer when you propose.
Anything Goes, covered by Ella Fitzgerald. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, President-elect Donald Trump is quickly assembling a team to carry out his plan to launch the largest deportation campaign in U.S. history. Trump's reportedly tapped far-right immigration hardliner Stephen Miller to be White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy and South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem to be Secretary of Homeland Security. During the first Trump administration, Miller helped orchestrate the Muslim ban, pushed for the separation of immigrant families, and backed the termination of DACA. That's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Trump has also picked Thomas Homan to serve as his so-called border czar. Homan served as acting director of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, during the first Trump administration. Homan has deep ties to the far right. 2 years ago, he attended a white supremacist conference hosted by Nick Fuentes. Homan has said Trump's mass deportation campaign could also target U.S.-born children who were born to undocumented parents. He was recently interviewed by Cecilia Vega on 60 Minutes.
We have seen one estimate that says it would cost $88 billion to deport a million people a year.
I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Is that what American taxpayers should expect?
What price do you put on national security? Is that worth it?
Is there a way to carry out mass deportation without separating families?
Of course there is. Families can be deported together.
He's talking about deporting U.S. children. And this is Stephen Miller speaking back in February at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, outlining what Trump's deportation plan would look like.
Seal the border. No illegals in. Everyone here goes out. That's very straightforward. In terms of the policy sets to accomplish this, as President Trump showed in his first term, it's a series of interlocking domestic and foreign policies to accomplish this goal. In no particular order, just to rattle off a few fast, you have your safe third agreements, you have remain in Mexico, finish the wall, you have robust prosecutions of illegal aliens, you do interior repatriation flights to Mexico, not back to the north of Mexico. It's very important. You re-implement Title 42. You have several muscular 212Fs. That's the travel ban authority. We did a few of those in the Trump administration. You would bring those back and add new ones on top of that. You would establish large-scale staging grounds for removal flights. So you grab illegal immigrants, and then you move them to the staging grounds, and that's where the planes are waiting for federal law enforcement to then move those illegals home. You deputize the National Guard to carry out immigration enforcement.
That was Stephen Miller speaking in February. He's now White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy for Trump. We're joined now by Gene Guerrero, contributing opinion writer for The New York Times. Her books include Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump, and the white nationalist agenda. Gene, welcome back to Democracy Now! We just spoke to you a week ago on election night. Much has changed. Tell us about this latest appointment of Stephen Miller, and then we'll go on to Homan and President Trump's promise before the election and after that one of his first acts in office will be the largest mass deportation campaign in U.S. history.
Yes, Amy, great to be here. This is not a surprising choice at all. Stephen Miller, as I report in my book, is one of Trump's most trusted advisors who has been with him since early on in his 2016 campaign. And he represents essentially the ideological force behind Trump's anti-immigrant policies. He was not only the architect of Trump's family separation policy, but he was also the main proponent of a number of policies that focused on restricting legal immigration into this country. For example, slashing refugee admissions to record lows, strangling the asylum system in the United States, and policy denying green cards to people who were deemed likely to seek public assistance in the future. This is somebody who, as I report in my book, has expressed contempt for multiculturalism since he was a teenager, attending high school in Santa Monica, where he would antagonize his Latino classmates, his immigrant classmates, yelling at them to speak English and to go back to their countries, according to his friends who I spoke with. He'd go to school board meetings to denounce Cinco de Mayo celebrations, multicultural celebrations at the school. And for many years, Stephen Miller has pursued what amounts to a homogenous United States. The logical conclusion of these policies is to radically re-engineer the racial demographics of the United States. So not only with mass deportations, but policies that will 100% target not only undocumented people in this country, but also legal immigrants, naturalized U.S. citizens, and the U.S. citizen children of undocumented people. And as you mentioned earlier, he has been deeply influenced by white supremacist texts and websites, which I document in my book. And at the end of the day, this is not about animosity toward criminals or animosity toward people who have broken the law. It is about animus toward the notion of the United States as a multicultural and multi-ethnic democracy. And the last thing I'll say about Stephen Miller is that while Trump has very clearly expressed vindictiveness towards his critics, towards people who go against him, towards people who disobey him, Stephen Miller has for decades exhibited this same level of vindictiveness towards immigrants. And that is important to note because it is going to inform his policies moving forward.
And Gene Guerrero, I'd like you to if you could expound on this idea that the Trump administration is not simply targeting the undocumented for expulsion from the country, but they also want to radically redesign legal immigration. Obviously, during the first Trump administration, refugee admissions reached an all-time low. The president himself has often talked about the revoking birthright citizenship. Could you talk about what they're hoping to do in terms of the legal immigration?
Yeah, so I'll start with refugee resettlement, because as I report in my book, Stephen Miller has repeatedly stated to colleagues that he would like refugee admissions to ultimately be zero. So I think there's a real risk that we will see further attacks on refugee resettlement and that it'll be completely dismantled in a second Trump term. During the first administration, they caused permanent damage to refugee resettlement because they forced resettlement agencies to shut down infrastructure that had taken years and sometimes decades to build. So these are permanent, long-term harms that are caused to the refugee resettlement process. And there are also, I should note, decisions that end up impacting Homeland Security, because the Department of Defense has long used refugee resettlement to be able to recruit translators, informants, and to help Homeland Security in that way. But ultimately, it's about destroying the United States' global reputation as a safe haven for the persecuted. And I think we're going to continue to see moves in that direction and an expansion of the Muslim ban, which was also one of the main policies that Stephen Miller put forth, which speaks to the influence of his longtime mentor, David Horowitz, who I delve into in my book. He has said inflammatory statements about Muslims and has said things such as, quote, there is no Palestine. So when they say that they are going to ban refugees from Gaza, I do believe that that is something that they're going to do. I think we need to believe them and we need to prepare. And there are preparations happening as far as attorneys and the ACLU setting the stage to fight back.
And I wanted to ask you also about this notion and among the Trump and his MAGA followers that undocumented or illegal immigration from Mexico is a threat to national security. I'm wondering, we're going to play a clip from a speech from one of the founders of modern neoliberalism, the economist Milton Friedman, back in 1978. He gave a speech about the importance of Mexican immigration to the United States. I'm wondering if you could comment on it after we play this clip.
Mexican immigration over the border is a good thing. It's a good thing for the illegal immigrants. It's a good thing for the United States. It's a good thing for the citizens of the country. But it's only good so long as it's illegal. That's an interesting paradox to think about. Make it legal, and it's no good. Why? Because as long as it's illegal, the people who come in do not qualify for welfare. They don't qualify for Social Security. They don't qualify for all the other myriads of benefits that we pour out from our left pocket into our right pocket. And so as long as they don't qualify, they migrate to jobs. They take jobs that most residents of this country are unwilling to take. They provide employers with workers of a kind they cannot get. They're hard workers, they're good workers, and they are clearly better off.
That was economist Milton Friedman back in 1978 talking about the importance of Mexican immigration. Specifically, he said illegal Mexican immigration to the American economy. Wondering your thoughts.
Well, I think it speaks to the Republican Party's desire to maintain a second-class citizen population in this country because they can exploit them. But these are individuals who have been contributing to our economy since the beginning of the United States. They're individuals who build our highways and our homes, who harvest our crops, who take care of the elderly in hospitals. They're contributing to the United States in endless ways. And in fact, the people that Trump wants to deport are the very people who have mitigated the rise of inflation in this country and whose deportations will absolutely increase the price of groceries. So it's going to backfire on the Trump administration and on the U.S. economy. But the people who are most going to suffer are the 22 million mixed status families in this country who have at least one undocumented person in the household, U.S. citizen children, and who are going to be traumatically separated and subjected to these cruel policies, which if you listen to Tom Homan talk on, there was a recent podcast, a Breitbart podcast that he appeared on, in which they were actually ridiculing, laughing at the notion of these mixed status families being traumatized and crying as a result of these policies. It's about fundamentally about cruelty towards these individuals, and not acknowledging the very real benefits to this country that they offer.
I wanted to ask you, Jean Guerrero, about Tom Homan, who you're just mentioning, who Trump has now chosen to be the so-called border czar, who served as acting director of ICE Immigration and Customs Enforcement during the first Trump administration. He actually was first appointed by President Obama. But Homan spoke at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, as many in the crowd held